I wrote the number down, and I just called it. And the woman who answered told me that she needed to hire someone she could trust to do trail rides with young kids. She pays exactly double what I was making at the restaurant. I'm going out to see her tomorrow. Isn't that cool? Cool? Hell yes, it's cool. Here I am writing a book, looking for a good example, and it arrives in the form of help I was attempting to offer the day before to my daughter. Two for the price of one, if you will. I'll close this section with words from Aldous Huxley, one of my favorite authors. The spiritual journey does not consist in arriving at a new destination where a person gains what he did not have or becomes what he is not. It consists in the dissipation of one's own ignorance concerning oneself and life, and the gradual growth of that understanding which begins the spiritual awakening. The finding of God is a coming to oneself. In this first chapter, I've asked you to stop doubting the existence of a universal omnipresent force I've called intention, and told you that you can link to and be carried to your destination on the energy of intention alone. In the next part, I describe how this field of intention might look were you able to see it, and what the faces of intention might look like. Chapter 2, The Seven Faces of Intention. Moving from thinking about intention to knowing intention. Not too long ago, while writing this book here on Maui, I experienced a knowing that I'll attempt to explain to you. A woman from Japan was pulled from the surf, her body bloated from an excessive intake of seawater. I knelt over her, with others, attempting to get her heartbeat going with CPR, while many of her friends from Japan cried out in anguish as the futile attempts at resuscitation proceeded. Suddenly I felt the quiet awareness of this woman's spirit hovering above our life-saving attempts. As I watched the rescue scene on the beach, I felt the presence of blissfully peaceful energy, and in some unfathomable way I knew that she wasn't going to be revived and that she was no longer connected to the body that so many well-meaning people, including myself, were trying to bring back to life. This quiet knowing led me to stand up, put my hands together, and say a silent prayer for her. We were from different parts of this world and didn't even share a common language, yet I felt connected to her. I felt peaceful with a knowing that her spirit and mine were somehow connected in the mystery of the transient, ephemeral nature of our physical lives. As I walked away, the pain of death wasn't dominating my thought. Instead, I knew and felt that the departure of this woman's spirit from what was now a lifeless, bloated body was inexplicably all a part of the perfect divine order. I couldn't prove it. I had no scientific evidence. I didn't think it. I knew it. This is an example of what I mean by silent knowledge. I still feel her presence as I record this 24 hours later. In The Power of Silence, Carlos Castaneda describes silent knowledge as something that all of us have, something that has complete mastery, complete knowledge of everything. But it cannot think, therefore it cannot speak of what it knows. Man has given up silent knowledge for the world of reason. The more he clings to the world of reason, the more ephemeral intent becomes. Unquote. Silent knowledge starts when you invite the power of intention to play an active part in your life. This is a private and very personal choice that needn't be explained or defended. When you make this inner choice, silent knowledge will gradually become a part of your normal everyday awareness. Opening to the power of intention, you begin knowing that conception, birth, and death are all natural aspects of the energy field of creation. Clinging to attempts to think or reason your way to intention is futile. By banishing doubt and trusting your intuitive feelings, you clear a space for the power of intention to flow through. This may sound like hocus pocus, but I prefer to think of it as emptying my mind and entering the heart of mystery. Here, I set aside rational thoughts and open to the magic and excitement of an illuminating new awareness. A great teacher in my life named Jay Krishnamurti once observed, quote, "To be empty, completely empty, is not a fearsome thing. It is absolutely essential for the mind to be unoccupied, to be empty, unenforced, for then only can it move into unknown depths." Unquote. Now I'll describe what I think our view might be if we could be outside of ourselves, floating above our body, like the spirit of the Japanese lady on the beach the other day. From this perspective, I imagine myself looking at the faces of intention through eyes that are capable of seeing higher vibrations.